for Vacation Bible School, which is going to be July 23rd through the 27th, is Searching the Visible, Discovering the Invisible. You may not have signed up for a worker for VBS. I'll promise you that if you'll show up, that
there's something that you can do, whether it's helping recreation, backing up some of the teachers in some of the classrooms. There's always room for help. So if you feel led to come and partake in that, then just show up. You may not be able to come every night. You may be able to only come just a few nights. Just whatever you can do to help would be appreciated. Remember the fifth Sunday singing, which is going to be July 30th. If you'd like to sing a song or play an instrument, there's a sign-up sheet for you out there in the foyer. That's always a good time. We have so many blessings as far as the talent that we have inside our church. It's just hard to imagine how God has blessed us. And you're going to see a portion of that once the praise band comes out and they begin the worship service. There's a woman's luncheon July 30th that's going to be immediately following the church service. They're going to provide lunch, but you have to sign up on the sign-up sheet if you're planning to attend, so they'll have enough food to feed everybody. Operation Christmas Child is a great organization. We have some great ladies here in the church that spend a lot of time and effort and put in a lot of hard work into that, preparing the boxes for the children. Sometimes, and oftentimes, and that's the only Christmas that some of these children are going to have, is what comes in those small shoe boxes. And so whenever they ask for certain items that they need to fill those boxes, pray about it and see what God would have you to do. Sometimes, you know, they need money to help mail the boxes. That's just as important as putting things into the boxes. So pray about that. But Operation Christmas Child is very, very worthy of whatever time and effort that you can spend on it. And the bake sale today, all the money that goes into the bake sale. Now, the food costs money, but the carbs and the calories are free. You can't beat that. Okay. So when you pick up something out there off the table, that money is going towards a good cause. So just remember that. Youth movie night is coming August 13th. They haven't announced what movie it is yet, but I came to the last one. The movie was terrific. And I'm sure this one will be also. So make plans to come and support the youth and see a good, clean movie. I've been reading a book that was it's by David Limbaugh, his Rush Limbaugh's brother. Anytime that you pick up a book that is of a Christian nature, I like to kind of examine it and make sure that the author is somebody that's legitimately a Christian, and he's going to give me good information. I ran across something here. I'm going to just read it for you. This was an evangelist in his closing remarks. And he says, "Men and women, Christ is a Savior. God offers him to you. You take him, it is done. Feeling or no feeling, will you take him tonight? No one has good reason for not coming to Christ. There are a thousand reasons why you ought to come. Every year that you've lived has brought you 1 year closer to eternity. And it's a reason for coming to Christ tonight. Every year that you have still to live, and that might be a year of service, is a reason for coming to Christ tonight. Every saved friend that you have is a reason for coming to Christ tonight, that you may spend eternity with him in heaven. Every unsaved friend that you have is a reason why you should come to Christ tonight, that you may bring him with you. Every thorn in the Savior's crown, every nail in the Savior's hand and feet, every stroke laid upon the Savior's back, when he was wounded for your transgressions and he was bruised for your iniquities, and the chastisement of your peace was laid upon him, is a reason for accepting Christ tonight. Will you do it? There is an awful risk to delay." It said, "Once heard, there was this story about King Edward VII of England. He and the Queen were out walking late one afternoon when the Queen twisted her ankle. They began to look around for some house where they might find some assistance, and so they saw a small cottage, and the king went over there, and his wife The queen held on to his arm as they limped along. He got to the door. He banged on the door. And suddenly there was a voice that came out. Who's there? It's Edward. I'm the king. Let me in. The man on the inside shouted back, enough of your pranks. Now be off with you. The king, not being accustomed to such language, was shocked. He hardly knew what to do, but he knocked a second time. The cottager inquired, what do you want? I tell you, it's the king. It's Edward, your king. Let me in. In anger, the man shouted, I'll teach you to torment an honest man trying to get his sleep. He threw open the door in disgust, only to see indeed it was the king. With profuse apologies, the laborer invited the royal visitors in, and he sent for someone to help attend to the queen. Years later, the Britisher was too old to work, and he had spent much time sitting on his porch, rocking in his chair, and visiting with neighbors. He took great delight in reviewing that experience, always concluding with the same words, and to think, I almost didn't let him in. To think I almost didn't let him in. In Revelation 3 and verse 20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears him, he said, and he opened the door, he said, I will come in and sup with him. So today, would you open the door?
Remember Big John because he's away and he's doing taking care of that. But you know what? I'm glad Johnny talked about the king and inviting the king in because we're all about worshiping King Jesus here. So join us as we worship. Remember, worship is not a spectator sport. It's participatory. I don't get to use that word much. It's participatory. So we want you to participate. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and then worship it together. God, thank you this morning for bringing us together, all as a family of princes and princesses who have come to worship the King. Help us as we worship the King to put our focus on Him, to let the things that could get us a scatterbrained and our brains turned off and draw us away from you, put those away from us, draw those away from us, and let us just focus on King Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God would stand with us, Wilmer. Stand and worship our Lord this morning. He is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. Peter said about him, he is Christ, the Son of the living God.
Oh,
If you're not born again this morning, really think about that. I lost someone I loved recently. They were born again, but that showed me you never know when your time's coming. Accept Jesus today.
Jesus. Is this where the campground is? Is this where the campground is? I went on a hiking trip with the kids, with the boys this weekend. I'm kind of confused, a little lost. Is this where the campground is? Nobody. All right. No takers on the campground. All right. Let me see. Let me get this stuff off. Seriously, we did go hiking this weekend. Still got some water left. These are all things necessary when you go on a two-day backpacking trip with a bunch of boys. Ibuprofen. Turkey. Teriyaki turkey. Yeah. Trail mix. Yep. And probably the most important part of all is your Bible. Right? Because when you're going to go camping, you need to make sure you go with Jesus, right? Be with Jesus. Now, I don't know about y'all, but these are great camping and hiking songs we've been singing this morning. Because when you go out hiking, you want to spend some time with Jesus. And that's really the whole goal of what we did with the boys was we wanted them to get an idea of what it meant to have a biblical outlook on Jesus and who Jesus is and living like Jesus. Get started right. You know, we want our young men to live like Jesus. We want them to get to know Jesus and be with Him and act like Him. So we had a theme this weekend, and if I mess up the name of the theme, Jamie will correct me here in just a minute. But we wanted them to have a biblical sense of manhood. And I'm sorry, if you're in Nani's class, go out with Nani right now. I completely forgot. Oh, and by the way, in case you don't know me, I am not Big John. I am not Jamie. I have to stand up here because I'm not as tall as those guys, and you can't see me if I'm on the floor. All right, I'm Bert. I'm the utility pastor around here. I do whatever the other guys don't want to do, all right? But I mostly work with children and in missions. And in case you got children that were here last Wednesday night and they came home all nasty, slimy, painted up, that's my fault. All right? I'm just going to confess to it now. I'm the one that got them slime and paint balloons, and we had a great time. But we talked about, just so you know, we did put Christ into it. We talked about when you get messy, the only way to get cleaned up is to know Jesus. All right? And as a sideline, while we're there, this Wednesday night is water night. No slime, no paint balloons, but there's going to be water. So they're going to need to have a change of clothes and a towel to dry off. And they might be a little muddy because, you know, you get water and dirt together and it might be mud. You know, just saying. All right, so you're prepared. Anyway, back to the sermon. That's commercial. That's the infomercial for this morning. So, we're talking about biblical manhood. What does it mean to be a man in the Bible? Okay? So, we took them out camping. You dress like this when you go camping, right? Boots, shorts, shirt. By the way, we all got rescued. We all came back alive. How many of us were there total, Jamie? 13? 15. Ha! I don't know where those other two came from. 15 went out and 15 came back, okay? So that was good. So all of that to say, when I was thinking about that, by the way, John asked me to preach Thursday. So, you know, I've had lots of time to prepare the sermon. I got to thinking about, what does it mean for us as adults? Not just the boys, but as adults. What does that mean to us to live biblically? So this morning, we're going to talk about bag Christianity. All right, bag Christianity. And you got notes? In fact, you get to fill in the blank. I hope you all brought a pencil or a pen because I don't think we got enough around here for everybody. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, to talk about bag Christianity. All right? So while you're turning there, I'm going to start reading. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. For our exhortation does not come from error or impurity or by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from men, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted authority. But we proved to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you know how we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Let's pray. God Almighty, thank you so very much for speaking to us through your word, for sending Jesus Christ first, and then preparing your written word to us so that we would know how to live lives that would bring honor and glory to you, lives that would reflect the risen Son of God, so that others would come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This morning, let these words penetrate into us so that we become and would be the people that you want us to be, bringing honor and glory to you in every moment of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, so bad Christianity. That does not mean that you carry a bag around with you all the time. But I do need a throat lozenge. Something about sleeping outdoors has got my throat all messed up. So if you'll excuse me just a minute. Anybody else need one while I got them out? No? Okay. So your first blank is biblical. You want to live and speak the Word of God. Now, being biblical, let me explain that a little bit to you. It does not mean that you're a biblicist. A biblicist is someone who can quote lots of scriptures and knows a lot about the Bible. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. Did I do that? And fall short of the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man, that you may not fall. But God has made a way to keep you from falling. So, I mean, you can quote a lot of verses. You can be like the guy who ran a store, and every time someone came to the store, when he rung up the cash register, he'd quote a verse. So one day a guy came in, pulled up with his horse trailer, Ron. Came running in. He was on his way to his horse show. And he said, I got a horse out there. I'm on my way to a horse show. I forgot my saddle. I need the very best saddle you have. Guy thought about it in a minute. He had one saddle in the back. So he goes into the back, gets a saddle, comes out, puts it out there. The guy says, how much is that saddle? The guy says, $100. Man, you don't understand. You got to have a saddle that's better than that. That is an expensive horse out there. I can't put no stinking $100 saddle on that horse. And I says, well, I'll see what I can do. Grabs a saddle, goes in the back, dusts it off a little bit, brings it back out, puts it there. The The guy says, well, that saddle looks a little bit better. How much is that saddle? $500. Man, you don't understand. That horse I got out there is an expensive horse. I can't put a cheap $500 saddle on it. Guy says, well, let me go back and look again. Grabs the saddle. I'm trying to get my exercise. Puts it back there. Polishes up the brass and the silver just a little bit. Runs back out. Puts it down. The guy says, man, that saddle is looking good. How much for that saddle? Well, you know, I hate to do it, but that's a $2,000 saddle. The guy says, all right, that's what I'm talking about. Whoops out $2,000, grabs the saddle, gets into his truck, and heads off. So he goes over to the cash register with his $2,000, getting ready to put it in. Everyone's waiting. What verse is he going to quote? You were a stranger and I took you in. That would be a biblicist. Not very biblical. So, what does it mean to be biblical? Now, the boys that went on the camping trip, they had to think of some words to talk about biblical, being a man of God, what it means to be biblical. And we talked a little bit about the first man of God. Because we talked about the first sin. How did the world all get messed up, right? In the Garden of Eden, God had made this great, big, beautiful world, right? And Eve always gets the rap, right? Because she was tempted and she didn't do such a good job. Well, guys, it's time to man up. Josh, who sinned first? One of you, Joshua's, there's at least two of you here. Adam, right! Why did Adam sin first? He let his girl do it. Go back and read the passage real quick. It says, she took and ate and gave it to her husband who was there with her. Why didn't Adam man up and be the leader of his house? Why wasn't he responsible for his household? See, part of living biblical lives is being responsible. Not just the guys, but the girls too. We got to be responsible for our own actions, right, ladies? I'm looking at the young ladies in the front row. Nod your heads. You got a girl up. We're not going to tell you all to man up. Y'all got a girl up, all right? You got a woman up. Being biblical. So let's look at what some of that being biblical is. I got to get the right note out. Then I got to put my glasses on. So, being biblical. First of all, you got to know what it means to know Jesus, right? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. Anybody quote it for us? Any biblicists out there? It's up on the board. Is it? Sure enough. Now I make known to you, brethren, that which was made known to me, which I preached to you, which also you received, when also you stand. Now, what do you think the message was that they stand in? Y'all can read it. Verse 2, what does it say? All together, read it all together. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Here it comes. What are we going to believe in? For I delivered to you. Come on, read it with me. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ did what?
Died for our sins.
Died for our sins. He took our place. By the way, that's the next blank. Gospel message. Jesus died for our sins. If He had not died for our sins, we would still be doing rivers and rivers and rivers of blood in sacrifices. That's a reference to another sermon that was preached a long time ago, wasn't it? Rivers. Yeah. So rivers of blood, because we still have to do sacrifices yearly to cover for our sins. Aren't you glad that Jesus died in our place? That He covered over our sins? But wait, there's more. It's like a Ginzu knife commercial. And that he was raised on the... Oh, no. And that he was buried. What do you do with dead people? You bury them. In the case back then, they put him in a cave, rolled a rock in front of him. How else do you get the rolled stone to, the rolled stone to weigh? The stone rolled away. It's got to be rolled. I'm still camping somewhere in the Sipsey Forest. You know, I'm just like... My brain is back there, 4 miles back into the woods. That was your next blank. Jesus was buried. You want proof that Jesus rose from the dead? Go find a tomb with his body in it. They ain't one. You know, there's lots of people that believe that Jesus died. Muslims believe that Jesus died. They also believe that he rose again. You know why? Because they got a grave there next to Muhammad's grave, where Muhammad still is, for when Jesus comes back. Because they think he's going to die and go lay in that grave. But he ain't. Because what does the last part of that verse say? Back up. Back up one more. Verse 4. And that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. He got up out of the grave. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. That's right. Now look, Paul, in talking to the Thessalonians in another place, he said to them, because they were worried about Jesus made me, he didn't raise from the grave. There have been people who've been dead a long time, and Jesus ain't come back yet. We're worried about that. And Jesus says, look, if Jesus had not risen from the grave, we would be most miserable because we would have no hope. The hope in Christianity is not in the death. The hope in Christianity is not in the burial. It is in the resurrection. Because we know one day too we will be with Jesus. That was your third blank there in the Jesus blanks. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day. If you are going to be biblical in your life, you have got to believe that. Because you cannot live a biblical life if you do not believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins personally, that he was buried because of your sins, and that he rose again to give you personally new life. If you don't believe that, you ain't a follower of Jesus, and you have no hope, and the rest of the sermon don't apply to you. Because that is the basis of being biblical and bad Christianity. Without that, the rest of it is just hooey and words. You got to have something to stand on. You got to have some place to put down an anchor and say, I know that I have a life that's worth living. And that's where you put your anchor. Jesus dying on the cross for your sins, buried for you, and rose again in newness of life. So what else does biblical mean? Biblical means that what we read in the Bible is how we live. Some of the youth in here remember what Kirby used to say. Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. You get that? You want to live a biblical life? You live by what's in here. Now, that does not mean you have to run around in a toga, or whatever they call what they wore back then. Yeah, I know. No pants. Kind of a robe thing. Walking around everywhere, not using cars, and following the sacrifices. It means by the precepts that are in the Bible. Jesus taught a lot of stuff. The whole Bible teaches a whole bunch of stuff about how to live. You need to read it. You need to get it into you. Because the only way that you can live a biblical life is by getting it into you. And by living it out. So, When you don't have a lot of time to prepare for a sermon, sometimes you got to use your notes. And you got to put on your glasses so you can read them. Or drop them on the floor, whatever works best. All right, so. Did you see notice? That's the wrong reference. Don't you hate it when you write the wrong verse? So, Paul says in those first five verses, which we've been covering, you just don't know it, that he brought them the message of the gospel. It's a message approved by God in verse 4. He spoke it not to please men, but God who examines our heart. And he came not seeking men's glory. And then he says, what happened? You became imitators of us as we became imitators of Jesus. Which brings us to our next point. So, biblical, the A is authentic. For what you see is what you get. Let me move that before I trip over it. Living authentic lives. And that's what Paul tells us in verses 5. I should put 6 through 9 up there. Verses 5 through 9. Paul tells us, he uses four verses to do it, that I lived in a way that I wasn't hiding anything. What you saw was what you got. Any of you that have known me for very long know that this is kind of what I am. Shorts, t-shirt, funny looking boots, headband, you know, kind of a goofy guy. You know, I was the guy in college and high school that everybody thought was weird because I was really goofy. That's me. That's what you get. Yeah, Josh, I see you laughing there. Yeah. Of course, my kids right now are kind of embarrassed because their dad is the goofy guy. You're good with it? All right. That's what I like. So, what they want to know about, what is authentic? Thank you. Being real? Have you ever seen people? Hey, Jamie gave us a great answer last week. Being real? He gave us an example of unreal. Church speak. How are you doing? Oh, man, everything's blessed. Blessed be God that everything's going great. Even though the dog died, car got repossessed, been eating day-old bread and beans. And my son's going, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hey, if things are going cruddy, just be honest. Things are going cruddy. Wouldn't it be better to be real like that? But remember this, when things are going cruddy, who's with us still? Yeah, Jesus. Y'all keep... Be loud, okay? Not obnoxious, just loud, okay? Yeah, I was also the obnoxious kid. Rivers doesn't know it, but I was a lot like him. Or he's a lot like him, anyway. Obnoxious. I'm sorry, Rivers. Sorry to throw you into the bus like that. It just is what it is. We're real, aren't we? Rivers, we're real, aren't we? That's right. What you got with it. But look, the authentic thing is we can get into playing roles, into playing games. Paul said, man, what you see is what you get. Now look, when Paul went to Thessalonica, things didn't really go his way. If you think back to the second missionary journey, which starts in Acts chapter 16, Paul's going along and he says, yeah, we wanted to go this place, but we couldn't go this place because Spirit hindered us. So we wanted to go over here. Spirit didn't hinder. Hindered us again. So we wanted to go over here. Spirit hindered us. Finally, he had a dream. Macedonian vision, right? Y'all come help us. Tell us about Jesus over here in Macedonia. First European missionary, Paul. So he gets on the boat, goes to Philippi. Gets to Philippi, starts preaching about Jesus. And there's that woman that kept following him, right? Hey, listen to him. I'm sorry, wrong voice. Hey, listen to him. He's talking about Jesus. You need to listen to him. And finally, after a couple, three, 4 days, he really got annoyed by it. And what did he do? He rebuked the spirit. Get out of here. Spirit left her. And her bosses got really mad because they were going to lose their money. Threw him in prison. He got beat up. Got whooped. And when they whooped you back then, you were really whooped. All right? Whooped him. Threw him in prison. Chained him up on the inside. And what did Paul do? They were singing praises. Middle of the night, singing praises. Singing Kumbaya, Jesus Loves Me. I don't know what they were singing, but those sounds like good songs. And as they were singing, there was an earthquake. You remember that? He got loosened out of his chains. The jailer was going to do the Harakiri thing. Paul said, don't stop. Prisoner, the jailer said, yeah, man, I need to know Jesus because whatever you got, I need to have that because I ain't got that. Got saved, and they ran Paul and his friends out of town, right? Got to Thessalonica. Started telling people about Jesus. He got to run out of town again. He was being authentic. But you know what he says? I told you the truth. I preached Jesus to you. Not so you can give me lots of money. Not so that you can say, wow, man, that's a good preacher. I wanted you to know Jesus. He was being authentic. Now, when you think about being authentic in the sense of living bag Christianity life, let's go back a little farther in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 4. Here were Peter and John. They're going to the temple, and they saw this lame guy sitting on the side of the road. Lame guy said, hey, give me some money, dude. I've been sitting here for a long time. I'm lame. I can't walk. I can't work. Give me some money. I need some jingle in my pocket. I translated it. I changed the wording a little bit, but y'all get the meaning, right? Peter and John looked at him and said, nope, ain't going to happen. Ain't got no money. But what we have, we're going to give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. The dude got healed, jumped up, started dancing around, praising God, got filled with the Holy Spirit. That caused a real problem. You know what happened? All the scribes and Pharisees and those folks got upset. They grabbed up Peter and John, took them out in front of the council, started to question them, by what authority do you do this? He said, by Jesus Christ. They got upset. They just killed Jesus. They wanted to stop this thing. We don't want none of them Jesus followers around here. And they said, after they talked with them a few minutes, they said, doggone it. You realize that these folks have been with Jesus? That's what it says in verse 13. It said, oh, let me make sure that's the first right. Verse 13, Acts 4:13. What does it say? The scribes and Pharisees said, them were uneducated men. They hadn't been to school. But we know something. They have been with Jesus. Got a question for you. Does everybody you go around know that you've been with Jesus? I mean, if you're a Jesus follower, it ought to be seeping out of your body all the place. Wherever you go, people ought to be able to tell that you have been with Jesus. That is biblical, authentic life as a follower of Jesus. It kind of just comes out of you. Because you're looking to be like Jesus. It just gets out of you. Well, a couple verses later, them same Pharisees say, all right, we the bosses, don't talk about Jesus no more. Did you hear me, Brian? Don't talk about Jesus no more. I just picked somebody you happen to be the target of opportunity. Don't talk about Jesus no more. And what did Peter say? Verse 19, he said, too bad. You decide which is better. Follow man and his laws or follow God and his laws. You decide. But we're going to keep talking about what we have seen and heard. You catch it there? That biblical, authentic Christian living says, no matter the situation, I've been with Jesus. People are going to know I've been with Jesus. And no matter what you say, you're going to know about Jesus. But I ain't going to stop shutting up. I'm not going to shut up. Let's try it one more time. I'm not going to shut up about the Jesus who saved me and gave me hope for life. Man, that should have been an amen point. Come on. All right. Thank you, Joshua. All right. So biblical, authentic. Now we got to have a good G word. Gracious. And y'all think, goodness gracious, what is he going to tell us now? Now, if you want to see what Paul says there, you got to read verses 10 through 12. Okay. One of the things you got to recognize there is in verse 10, it says this. You are witnesses. That means he was living it out, and they saw it, and so is God. And look, God is witness to everything we do and say and think and maybe even thought about thinking. How devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. So no matter what we do, being biblical and authentic, we're still going to be above reproach. In our gracious living, we're going to talk a little bit more about gracious. Remember this. You can be biblical, you can be authentic without being ugly. And that's what it's talking about, being gracious. Now, let's talk about some examples of graciousness. Walking in humility and gentleness. I don't know what happened there. It's like the sound came out of my ear there. Walking in humility and gentleness. I'm going to give you some examples of that from Jesus' walk. Okay? Because we're supposed to be imitating Jesus, right? All right. That's my goal. If I walk like Jesus did, someone's not going to like it and I'm going to get in a lot of trouble. But that's okay. Jesus got into a lot of trouble. Remember Jesus said, the servant is not above the master. If they hated me, you think they're going to like you too? If you're living as a Christian, you're going to come up against people that don't like you because you're living like a Christian. So just don't think, let's just get it out of our head now, empty it out, pour it out on the ground. If you're living life as a Christian, somebody's not going to like you. Remember that. Because everyone says, well, I'm living like a Christian, but so-and-so don't like me. Well, that's probably because they don't like Christ either. Okay? So Jesus, if you look in John chapter 3, what do you get? You get the story of Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus was a scholar. He was one of the Pharisees. He knew a lot of stuff. Right? He came to Jesus, said, Jesus, I want to know, how do I get to get some of the stuff you got? And Jesus says, you got to be born again. Nicodemus said, what? I mean, you know, like, I can't crawl back into the womb. I'm too big. I ain't going to fit. Besides that, my mama's not here. What do you mean by being born again? Got to be born of water and the Spirit. I just don't get it, Nicodemus says. And Jesus says, what do you mean you don't get it? Are you a teacher and you don't understand what I'm saying? Where the wind blows, don't you recognize where the wind comes from? Now, Jesus could have said to Nicodemus, what are you, an idiot or something? That would not have been very gracious, would it? You stupid? You don't understand what I'm telling you? He didn't say that. He led Nicodemus to a point where Nicodemus would understand, because wasn't he one of the... No, that was Joseph of Arimathea. But Nicodemus was there too, burying Jesus. See, he became a believer. Why? Because Jesus led him to that point graciously. What about in John chapter 4? He's traveling through Samaria. Have I gone too long already? No, I hadn't. I'm nowhere near long as John preached. So he's going through Samaria, and he stops at this well, and he sits there, and this woman comes up, and she starts drawing water. And Jesus sees her, and he says, "Yeah, I'd like some water." Y'all remember the story? Which way are you going to nod your heads? Yes? Okay, just checking to make sure you hadn't fallen asleep yet. Says, "Hey, I want some water too." And she says, "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. We don't usually talk." And he says, "Well, you know, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for some water." She says, "What? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well?" And he says, "Yeah. Yeah." And he says, "I give you some living water." She says, "And you'll never get thirsty again." And she says, "I want some of that." And then Jesus kind of throws the zinger in there, right? "Go get your husband." She kind of goes, Yeah, about that. I kind of don't like have a husband. And he says, "Yeah, you're right. You had five of them, and then you're living with a guy now, right?" Kind of pointed it out. He could have pointed it out in a whole harsher manner. Because what was the result of that conversation? She believed Jesus to be the Messiah. She came to saving faith through that encounter. You know, hey, Jesus was gracious with that woman. You know, that was a woman who was an outcast. That was a woman that no one wanted to be around. And Jesus was gracious to her and brought her to knowledge of salvation. That's gracious living, isn't it? That's being gracious. How many times are we gracious with those people that just ain't like us? That are a little bit different. Maybe their lives don't measure up to what we think their lives ought to measure up to. We ought to be gracious. One more example of graciousness in Jesus' ministry. I got the reference here somewhere. Oh, John chapter 8. Another great story of Jesus and graciousness. So he's out there teaching, and the Pharisees bring this woman, throw her down in front of him, and say, "Jesus, the law says that she's got to be stoned because she was caught in adultery." As a side, like, I always wondered where the dude was. You can't have adultery with just one person. It takes two people to tango, doesn't it? Dad, am I wrong? Okay, I'm right. Okay, so take two. I always wondered, where's the dude? I think he was one of the guys out there, like, saying she was caught in adultery. I think he was in on it. So Jesus stoops and writes in the dirt. I bet you them dudes were getting nervous about that. What is he going to do? He stands up and he says, "Well, I tell you what. Whoever is without sin, you just go ahead and start. Throw the first stone, all right?" Y'all getting nervous about the silence? I know those guys were, because they started to leave, it says, one by one. They started to leave. They were all being confronted by their own sin. Gets to the end. Wow, that's really loud. He's still digging there. And riding in the dirt. He looks up. It's just a woman there. "Where are your accusers?" "There were none." "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more." Boy, was he gracious with that woman. Because he could have just let them be biblicists. And he could have said, "Oh, go ahead, stone her. Hey, she was caught. She was an adulteress. Do what the law says." I mean, that's what it says. I mean, you look it up, it's in Leviticus. It's right here. It's still in there. Oh man, thank you God for grace. Thank you, God, for grace. Thank you that Jesus paid for all the sins on the cross. Thank you that we have forgiven when we ask for forgiveness. Are y'all getting a picture of what a biblical, a bad Christianity is like? It's biblical. It's based on the Bible. It's not just what any old guy wants to say. By the way, please take the sheet I gave you. Go back and look at the references yourself. Check me out to make sure I told you right this morning. Okay? The worst thing in the world is a person who says they're a Christian who don't study what the pastor or the preacher says. That's how people get led astray. We don't want nobody to get led astray. That's terrible English, but you get the point, right? Check it out. Make sure we told you right. Live that biblical life, a life that is based on the Bible. But not a life that's holier than thou. I'm better than you because I know Jesus and you don't know how. All right? You want to be biblical. Because that biblical life is an authentic life. Why did everyone hang out with Jesus? Why did everyone hang out with Jesus? If you want to know a dude who was authentic, Jesus was like the most authentic dude that there was. He didn't condemn folks. Well, he did, but only those that really needed it, like scribes and Pharisees. You brood of vipers. Man, what a thing to say. How'd you like someone come into your church and say, "Hey, you brood of vipers"? I mean, he called them vipers. He called them a lot of ugly, empty graves, you whitewashed graves. He was a little rude when it was appropriate. But his point was to bring them to following God, to knowing what it means to be saved, being biblical, being authentic. Hey, look, Jesus hung around with who? Sinners. Thank you, Dave. He hung around with sinners. John the Baptist came. They said he had a demon because he ran around out in the desert talking about God and eating locusts and honey. We talked about eating locusts and honey too, didn't we? We couldn't get any of these boys to eat a locust. I don't know what's the matter with them. Okay? But the point is John the Baptist, they said, had a demon. Jesus hung around with people who were sinners, and they called him a drunkard and a sinner. They didn't like him. Why? Because he was authentic. He lived a biblical life, he lived an authentic life, and he lived a gracious life. Now, here's the big question. It's on the bottom of the page. It should be up on the board in just a second. First of all, are you a Jesus follower? Remember, we talked about 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 5. Do you know and have you believed that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? I'm talking about individual, me. Yeah, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Do you believe that he was buried? Terrible timing. And do you believe? Sorry, Jamie. All right. Let's do that over again. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sin, that he was buried, and that he rose again from the grave to give you new life? Are you a Jesus follower? Because that's what it takes to be a Jesus follower. Now, once you're a Jesus follower, here's the second hardest question you'll ever answer. Do those around you know it? Can they see it in the way that you live? Not just the Sundays and Wednesdays when you're in the church and around this place, or when you're with all your Christian buddies. But wherever you are, whatever you're doing, at the hunting camp, guys. Oh, wow. That's a tough one there. Sometimes guys do some really weird things in the hunting camp. Don't they? Hey, look, you want to see authentic boys? Go camping with them for 2 days. But what goes to camp stays at camp, right? All right. No matter where you live, no matter what you're doing, when you're a follower of Jesus, do people know that you're a follower of Jesus? Do they know it? Can they see it? Do they hear you talk about it? Do you live your life in a way that people see it? I'm hoping that the band shows up here in a minute for the invitation. I didn't give you all a clear indicator, did I? Sorry about that, band. Yeah, well, you know, I hadn't preached in front of a band for a long time. It's a thank you. So that's the point. That's the question I'm going to pose to y'all. Now, look. The altar area is open. You got to do business with Jesus. Do business with Jesus. Don't let it go another day. Don't let it go another hour. If you need to talk to someone about doing business with Jesus to help you get to that point, you can come talk to me. You can talk to my dad, LG. Raise your hand. Everybody knows who you are, but raise your hand anyway. You can talk with Jamie. Of course, you'd have to go through the sound booth. Or if there's someone else here like Brian that you know, or Mr. Wyman, or some of the ladies in our church. We got ladies here. Miss Sarah. Miss Debbie. Raise your hand, Miss Debbie. Yeah. Miss Kim. These folks would be happy to help you to know Jesus and walk a way that brings Jesus honor and glory. So let's pray, and then we're going to give you time for you to respond to Jesus, however it is that you need to respond. God, more than anything else, we want you to reign in our lives, to know Jesus as Savior, believing that He died on the cross for our sins, for my sin, was buried and rose again from the new life to give us, to give me hope. And then to live that each and every day in a way that people know, no matter where I am, that I am a follower of Jesus. And I pray that each person here who is a follower of Jesus would live that way. And if they don't know Jesus, that they would not leave without Jesus, but that they would know Jesus and trust Him and even make that public today. So, Father, You work exactly how You want to, bringing honor and glory to Yourself and the world to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken?
Just because they finished singing the invitation, that doesn't mean the invitation is ever over. Jesus has always got his arms open wide, and he always wants you to come to him no matter what's going on. If men come forward for taking up the offering, we'll pray for it. So, okay, we got some guys coming forward. I was worried there. I thought I was going to have to take up the offering too. Thought everybody gone on vacation or been gone. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for being here with us and always having your arms open wide. You've always got them open wide. Help us to remember that and to come to you. Now as we give back to you part of what you've given us, our tithes and offerings, use it for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Red.
Well, just to let you all know a little bit about what happened this weekend. You know, the guys went camping. The gals, the girls, they did something special too. They went and painted. So these paintings you see up here in the front, the girls in our youth group painted those yesterday. They're expressing themselves, their love for God through their paintings. They did a really great job. Give them a hand. I did have a couple of people ask me, are those paintings for sale? And I said, I don't know. You have to talk to the girls about that. It might be if the price was right, but I don't know. Okay? I ain't getting into that. But hey, look. This week, look for opportunities to be living out your
bad Christianity, being biblical, authentic, and gracious. Look for opportunities to do that, so that you will always be pointing people to the Savior. I don't know of any other announcements. Did I leave anything out? Well, I'm going to pray one more time. So let's pray. God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that you gave us Jesus to be a Savior, the Lamb who was slain in our place so that we could have everlasting life and come to know you and have a relationship with you. Help us to live that out in every situation wherever we go this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for letting Big John be your pastor. Love y'all. Ready? Break.